हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। चाय सो रघुनाथ जी प्लीज।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं कीर्तयेत्। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम First Canto, Chapter 2, Text Number 16. Shushru Shushrada Dhanasya Vasudeva Tataruchihi Syan Mahatsevaya Vipra Punyatirta Nishevana. O twice-born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, trade service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. We are continuing with the purport of Srila Prabhupada. These servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to particular time and place. These servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God himself according to the indication of the revealed scriptures, but he played the part of a devotee. People who know him to be God addressed him as God, but he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protests against being called God, although undoubtedly he was God himself. The Lord behaves so to warn us against unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed God. These servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with him in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita 18:69 that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one became qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of the devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. The end of the purport.
Purport, okay. The the key thing here is because we're trying to come in contact with Krishna, but we do that through the devotees, that by the grace of Krishna, one gets the devotees, by the grace of the devotees, one gets Krishna. So here is that there's first that association that's there because the devotees go out, like he says, risks everything, goes out, they preach. And therefore you come in contact, like Srila Prabhupada went to America, right? So went without anything, had no real, some little contact was there, but nothing of any significance. There's no surety of anything, but because it's Lord Chaitanya's order and the order of his spiritual master, then Srila Prabhupada had faith that, this will work. So he went, and then you see with time, there's struggles, there's difficulties, but then eventually then everything worked out very well. So they're taking that risk. And so they're coming to us. It's not that, yes, I'm sitting around and I'm so qualified, I'm just waiting for, when, they'll recognize my qualification. No, it's that there's no qualification. There may be an interest to know what's going on. Why? Because being in the material world means we're here, we're covered by ignorance, right? And this ignorance has been there since time immemorial. So, and we may be at either a stage of, in that ignorance of being attached to the material world, without the Lord, or we may become attached to the idea of getting rid of this material world and its pain that comes up from it by liberation. So either karma or jnana. But by the association of devotees, then we develop faith in hearing about the topics of Krishna. And that faith in hearing about the topics then is very important because then there's that enthusiasm that's there, then that faith and becomes, by association becomes commitment. Then we take up the process, bhajana kriya. And then that means when we take that up, there's the sense of surrender, right? So when we surrender, that's then when everything starts to work very nicely. We see anartha nivritti becomes dynamic when there's surrender, right? Because that's the point. Bhajana kriya, I'm going to do this. Before that, we may be doing, maybe not doing, and something will happen. We'll be involved. We may not be involved, just like that. But at bhajana kriya, when it takes initiation, then there's a that commitment is there. Then there is surrender. And so, if we take that commitment and surrender and faith seriously, then bhajana kriya happens. I mean, bhajana kriya begins. And anartha nivritti takes place. And so in anartha nivritti, then you can say the major aspect is faith that the material world has something to offer. That there's actually something of, true benefit that the living entity can gain in the material world. When one understands, no, the only thing of value is hearing and chanting the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord in the association of the devotees. Then that brings you to the point of nishtha, right? When that faith is there. In other words, in the neophyte stage, then the one has faith in the spiritual and commitment to it, like you see surrender. But there's still a little bit of the idea that the material is a little bit more in the mix than the spiritual, right? So neophyte means that there's still so much faith in the material. That, oh, if I have this situation, then everything will be wonderful. I can be spiritual. Or if that's there, then I can be spiritual. Or because of this situation, I couldn't be spiritual. Or spiritual depends upon this. Oh, only if we're all, perceived as nice people, then the movement can grow. All whatever it is, we may have so many mundane ideas. And we think Krishna consciousness is dependent upon that. But with anartha nivritti, that removes these things from the heart. So when it comes to nishtha, that means, spiritual is the prominent, material is not. So basically there, it's just what is there in the conditioning of value that can be engaged in Krishna service, that's engaged. And what's not is given up, right? The one doesn't have faith in it. But we see is that what is going on here is that it's not that there's a commitment too that the material is great. It's just that there is that by habit, that idea that this is what's there. Just like on if you're working with fruitive religion or religion and karma, where you actually theistic karma, then you're thinking, if I do good, then I will get, God will be pleased, I'll get good facility, right? Or I'll go to the heavenly planets or like this. So they're worshiping God, but it's all based on piety. In other words, my success in my religious pursuits is based on the material piety that I have, that I manifest. So it takes some time before we start to see this. No, it's not based on material piety. It's based on devotional piety, right? How is it pleasing to Krishna? How is this going to be useful in Krishna's service? That's the real piety, not how to do something that's nice and recommended, and because of that, then I get the benefits. So this switch, this is then what makes the difference between that one has faith in the beginning, and then one's faith becomes fixed, right? It's firm faith, right? In other words, in the beginning, one has faith. Then when there's that commitment and surrender to the guru in Bhajana Kriya, then that faith takes a step forward, right? Then it becomes dynamic. Before that, it's going nice and it's working. That's the glory of devotional service. Even if we don't have faith, devotional service will act, bhakti will act in such a way that in that association, you can get faith. So that's the point. It's not that only if you have faith will bhakti work. Bhakti will even work when you don't have faith. That's how people come to Krishna consciousness. They don't have faith. They're just walking down the street, somehow or another meet the devotees, and it looks interesting, because artarti jigyasu, there's no faith there. Right? I just, I'm having emotional problems, I'm having financial problems, I'm having intellectual problems, anxieties, and so I want to solve those. And then devotional service, okay, maybe that can do that. But then by associate, one develops faith, it turns into Shraddha. Then one's committed to Krishna consciousness. So what's produced that? That by the association of devotees, bhakti has produced that. So bhakti is independent. Then it will continue. Then that continues that you see is, yes, I need to take this seriously, surrender to the spiritual master, follow the instructions, seriously. Then anartha-nivritti becomes dynamic. That brings you to nishtha, where the faith then becomes fixed, because now you can say the spiritual is more prominent than the material. It means if we say nishtha, Prabhupada mentions nishtha is 75%, you've cleared out the anarthas. So when the clearance is 75%, that's nishtha. So that means the before that, the neophyte means that there's going to be, and I think Rupa Goswami says nishtha begins at 60%. So that's the beginning, but when you take, anything, you take the middle, that's 75, right? And then as you clear more, then it comes to ruchi, then to sakti, like that. So then that means that when you're before that, it means the material is more, the anarthas and the material is more prominent than the spiritual. But bhakti is so powerful, despite that, it will work. And then it brings you forward. So then, and yeah. So the whole point there is that all this is happening because of the association of devotees. So that's why it is so important. It means you, they call it not ananya bhakti is what you're trying to get to. Anartha nivritti is the stage of removing that. Oh, the what do you call the activities. Devotional activities that you're engaged in by devotees, but agyata sukriti. So the agyata sukriti, then that is happening because of devotees. Otherwise, when you're walking down the street going to work, you didn't in the morning as a karmi just out of the blue think, today I want to see Ratha Yatra. Seeing Lord Jagannath on his throne, on his chariot, going and smiling to all the people and benedicting all the people of the world, this would be a good thing to do today. I think it'll make my work go better today, right? That's what we had. No, the devotees arranged it. You didn't know anything about it. Or the Harinam, or the books, or whatever it is, the prasadam. So it's the devotees. Then when you get faith, then we see is as that faith, starts to get established, then we take up the association of devotees. Right? Then when we get serious on that, Bhajana Kriya means now we take the order of the devotees seriously. Right? And then to perform devotional service is always in the association of devotees. So as you go, all there is the devotees all the way through. So, the whole point is that we say it's about the Shraddha, that Shraddha to Prema, those nine levels. You can say it's when Shraddha, or faith increases, then it becomes Sadhu Sangha. When faith increases, it becomes Bhajana Kriya. When faith increases again, Anartha Nivriti, faith increase. So faith is increasing each time. That's what brings it all up. And Prabhupada mentions that prema, that's mature Shraddha, mature faith. But Srila Jiva Goswami is pointing out, and we see Prabhupada's pointing out here in the proof, that process is happening because of the association with devotees. Right? It doesn't happen otherwise. Right? So by the association, that's why it's moving forward. Like that. And so because of the association of devotees, our faith becomes more. And because our faith becomes more, then we're moving forward. So Krishna's pleased. So that's why Krishna is so pleased, like he said, when one respects the devotees and one takes them that, as good as Krishna, because by their associate, they're always hearing and chanting about Krishna. In their association, we hear and chant about Krishna. And so we move forward. So that's the important thing. That's why I said that the devotee is as good as God because they represent, but they never say they are God because they're not. Even if they're an incarnation, like a Shakti Vaishnava avatar, they're representing the Lord, but they're never the Lord. Just like the representative of the state is representing. So when you deal with them, it's as good as dealing with the state, but they're not the state itself, right? The ambassador or whoever it is that you're dealing with. Yes, Raghunathji.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please.
There you are.
I want to only ask the technical understanding. When we are associating with the devotees, our Shraddha will increase at the level which the devotees have, which we are associating with them, or it's independent.
It has both aspects. Bhakti is always independent. But the point is that that devotee can only take you that far. But it doesn't mean you can't go farther. That's why it always recommends to associate with those more advanced than yourself, right? For your advancement. And for others' advancement, then you're very kind to those who are innocent, right? Because then they can move forward. But see, the key in the Kali Yuga that's very important, it's not necessarily fully appreciated, is that in Kali Yuga, because you're dealing with large amounts of not necessarily overly qualified individuals, right? In other ages, just the karmi is much of the time very qualified materially, right? They may not know the spiritual, but at least they're very pious and they have the tendency towards a proper behavior. Other ages, they're getting up early, they're doing the things, they're following the Vedas, so it's not a problem. But in the Kali Yuga, then there's a tendency that they're not doing that, and especially as Bharatvarsha has shrunk down to now just what we call India, then that whole Vedic culture is not prominent around the world. You hear of little things of what people used to do and that before, in the local ancient histories that you can see is that it's more in line with the Vedas. But in any case, now it's not. So in Kali Yuga, you have a special system that you don't need to use in the other ages. And that's called having the founder Acharya. Right? So the founder Acharya is sent by the Lord for that particular time and those person and the people that they're dealing with, that to explain God consciousness and the teachings of the previous Acharyas in a way that people of that time period can take advantage. Right? And so then those persons who are bringing you in contact with the founder Acharya's instructions, and as much as they understand of it that they're giving you, then you're always getting good association. That's the whole point. If someone has faith in Prabhupada's instructions, that's what they're trying to base their life on. They're discussing that with you, or trying to, in some way give some benefit in that way, then it's always important. So that's why so when you're looking at it, what you're looking at is who's talking more about Prabhupada and the Acharyas and how to do that, or seeing it in that context. I mean, so maybe, their personal experience or discussions they've had with other devotees, but it's all overall in the context of what Srila Prabhupada's given. Right? And so then that association is of value. You don't have to go, oh, well, they're neophytes and what can I get from them or this or that. Because much of the time we see is most devotees came in contact with Krishna consciousness and became devotees, developed that faith in the association of neophytes. Somebody else who had just joined some weeks or months before you, or even a little bit more, whatever it is, and that there, because the potency is there. Because if you're the instruction is the real potency. So if a neophyte is giving you the instruction of Srila Prabhupada, it still is potent. They may not have much realization on it, but it's inspired them in their position. And they can, in other words, what it means is they can explain to you up the level of their inspiration. Right? And so that's there, and that's always going to be good. And even if it's a neophyte understanding, but it's sincere, it's always purifying. Even if you're more advanced, it doesn't matter. It's always something there because Krishna consciousness, everything about it is wonderful. And one looks for or takes advantage of those who are more advanced than us, and see their mood, see their everything like that. Just like we see here, Yudhishthira Maharaj is taking advantage of Narad Muni's association, right? So that's the idea. So that's the point of that. You have an associate the society that's been generated by the founder Acharya. That whole association is meant for then practicing and seeing what the founder Acharya is given, because what he's given then is all the, what is all the instructions of the previous Acharyas are all found within his teachings. But they're worded in such a way and given in such a way that we can access them, we can relate to them. Right? Because otherwise, then, it'll be hard to do. So therefore, for, our line, the Gaudiya line, then, Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya. For the Shris, then Ramanuja, the Madhvas, then Madhvacharya. For the Nimbarkas, Nimbarkacharya, then Vishnu Swami in the Kumar, no, not Kumar, Shiva's line, and then more recently than Vallabhacharya. So now they'll generally, they'll be known as Vallabhas. And so then if you follow those teachings, then you can advance very nicely, and you can get to that place that they're talking about. But since this is Lord Chaitanya's age, therefore then his line will be actually the most prominent in that, by following the teachings in that line, even if you want to go to some other destination, it will be easier. Right? In other words, if a Sri Vaishnav appreciates and reads Prabhupada's books, he'll find his own sadhana and his own appreciation of Ramanujacharya's teachings moves forward much quicker. Like that. Like you see in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, you had, you know, Murari Gupta was, you know, Hanuman. So he's not interested in Braj Leela. In the way of that, that's where he wants to do service. He's interested in Ram Leela, but he's there in Lord Chaitanya's mission. And every devotee appreciates the Leela that's going on in any other of the realms because it's all Krishna. You know, like that. It's just that they have a particular taste. Just like, let's say you have a big, fancy meal with so many preparations, and they're all good. They're all super excellent. And everyone can appreciate, wow, what a wonderful arrangement, how nicely done, how good they look, the fragrance, the taste and all that. But my favorite is this, right? Someone else says, oh yeah, no, that was really good, but I really like that one. So that's the thing, is that all of it. So any discussion about Vishnu, any Vaishnava will appreciate, but they have, where's their favorite? You know, so that's the point. So it's that's why you can see is that on certain points, then from the other sampradayas, and Prabhupada and the acharyas will even quote from these others, you know, what Ramanujacharya mentioned, or, you know, what Madhvacharya mentioned, or these different personalities, because the point is very clear and all that on the process of devotional service. So the opinion is one about Krishna's God word, Jiva's word, his, you know, his parts and parcels, and our relationship is that of service, and that's to be done from the platform of love. Right, you know, and through the chanting of the holy name. That's that. There's no difference of opinion there. Now, exactly how they're going to express that in their deity worship, in their, you know, hearing scriptures, how they associate with the devotees, how they live in the dham, you know, how what they're chanting or how they're chanting. Those, you may have some details there and difference, but the principal elements, they'll never be any difference like that. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj. Yes, it's sense. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So that's why we never have to worry, because I know there was some worry at some point after Prabhupada went. Then there was the ideas, oh, where are we going to get this? But the point is that's what the books are. That's why Vapu, I mean, the Vani is more important than Vapu. Means, and because Vapu, you may get the, because when you're with Vapu, you're going to get Vani. But how often do you get Vapu? Right? Means even the Prabhupada's disciples, how many had close association, or some never even and physically met him? But because they're following the instructions, they have that faith in it, everything's working perfectly. So that's why whether you're getting directly there, whether you're getting from the books, whether you're getting from others discussing the books, then it's there. It's just all that requires is like what Srila Prabhupada mentioned at the end, is there must be that interest, that desire to hear, right? You know, they pranipata, one desires to hear, Krishna will arrange. Then in that association of hearing, then pranipata, you inquire, you know, nicely on how to apply this in our life, how to make it practical, right? Pranipata means you want to hear, you remove doubts. Hari Prashna, then, you know, one, you're removing doubts, but also practically how to apply it. But it's a positive thing. This thing where someone has a doubt and they just want to prove that you are wrong. And that's not submissive inquiry. Right? Because submissive inquiry means you want to know. So in debate, you see, you know, sometimes in these discussions that will come up, you know, in the Shastra and the various pastimes between a great personality and some other great scholar and all that, then you'll see is that there are those ones where they just argue and fight and this and that, and there's no conclusion because they're not interested. But so that's not Pari Prashna. But you see is that there are ones where they actually want to know, but they don't understand what they're talking about. Right? You know? And so therefore then they you know, you can discuss and get somewhere. Like you see with Lord Chaitanya Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. You know, he said, you know, do you understand what I've been saying? Because you spoke on Vedanta straight for 7 days. right? How qualified he is. No eating or sleeping or anything for 7 days. He's talking Vedanta. That means how absorbed is he in Vedanta? And Lord Chaitanya, then naturally, you know, being the Lord himself, he's qualified, but he sits there submissively and just sits and listens. At the end, because he didn't say anything for the whole time, so there was no party pressure, he thought, maybe you didn't understand what I said. So after 7 days, he asked, do you understand what I said? And he says, no. You know, because it doesn't make any sense. So then it was, okay, so if you say it doesn't make any sense, then what would make sense? Then Lord Chaitanya started speaking Vedanta and convinced Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. You know, or we see with Lord Chaitanya with the sannyasi, Prakashananda Saraswati, and the sannyasis in Varanasi. They wanted to know, right? You know, why, how is it he's a sannyasi? He's manifesting all these transcendental symptoms of ecstasy, but all he's doing is chanting, and he's out there with common people. He's not sitting and studying Vedanta, because as far as they understood, that's how you're going to get to the transcendental platform. And so Lord Chaitanya explained it. They asked questions, he answered. You know, so that, you know, like that conversation with that devotee that was documented in Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. Because Paryaprasna means you want to know, so therefore you can explain the proper thing, right? If it's just a matter of argument, you've asked a question, but your question is actually trying to defeat the other point, person, or point out they're wrong. That's there. You can point out, I have a doubt. You've said like this, but I've, you know, my experience, I've had this or that. And so how does this work, or how does this apply? Or, you know, I've heard it said and people are very inspired, but I haven't seen anybody do it. Or, you know, like this, you want to know. So it's either how to apply it, or you know, I mean, the other part is clear any doubts that are there and how to practically apply it. In other words, it can carry both, but it's not the doubt, it's not about argument. The doubt is that I don't understand how it works. Like that, you know. So that's the whole thing. So there may have to be some explanation, especially since spiritual practice is not our habit for the last unlimited lifetimes, right? You know, we've been engaged in karma and jnana. That we understand. Generally, if you explain anything according to karma, jnana, we catch it immediately, right? Maybe not technical details, but the principle of it, yes. Do your work, do good work, get good results, do bad work, get bad results. Okay, doubt may come up, what's good and what's bad? You know, how do I define that? Is it based on the scriptures and do what the scriptures say, that's good, go against the scriptures, that's bad? Or go do what our political party says, that's good, go against it, it's bad. Go with the market, that's good, go against the market, that's bad. You know, do what your mother-in-law says, that's good, don't do what your mother-in-law says, that's bad. You know, I mean, there can be so many ways you can define, so there might be doubts. But the principle of doing good, get good results, doing bad, get bad results, basically no one will disagree with that. Right? Unless they become frustrated, they're interested in liberation. And the point is, do good, do bad, it doesn't matter. You're going to be miserable anyway. You have to get out of the material world. People will understand that also. You know, in other words, I don't want the result. I am pained by what's there. I don't want it. I don't work. Don't do work. So in other words, ones do work and get the results of work, and ones don't do work and get the results of no work. So that we clearly understand. We've been doing that since time immemorial. So therefore, the spiritual things may not be as clear as you know, like that. So it takes more explanation, and we'll have doubts, we'll have misgivings because we've had, you know, bad experiences in life, and so then we will tend to connect those together, and that, and so it takes time because devotional service is in the middle. It's right, the razor's edge. So, you know, because the point is things are overlapping in the material world, but we don't know how much of what to take. So we're saying, no, exactly here. You know, if we're going over here, no, that's too much. So then our natural thing is, okay, if it's too much here, I'll go over here. No, that's too far that way. Okay, I'll go back over here. Maybe not as much. No, but it's just the middle. And so that's the thing, is this middle, it's hard to tell. What is it? Is it some aspects appear like karma, some aspects appear like jnana. You know, some aspects don't seem to go match with either of them. There's some, how does it work? You know, because I had to do the good work and I got that. So I just sit around in a room with people who are talking and I advance in spiritual life, right? Business doesn't work like that. Right, you know, you have to sit down, you have to meditate, you have to go out and work, you have to, and just by hearing that it's working, the faith is developing, the commitment, the surrender. You know, so these things are coming up. So sometimes then there'll be a doubt. So this doubts aren't a problem as long as they're, if the purpose of that is to come to the platform of pure devotional service. You just want to clear all doubts so that you can perform the devotional service very nicely, you know, with determination. But if it's just that, oh, he's wrong, and so you know, then it's just a matter of pointing out the wrong. That's not there. Even if the person is wrong, but the point is it's about devotional service, not about I'm right, he's wrong. That devotional service is right. Anything else is wrong. So it's just a matter of taking things forward and things like that. Is that okay? Is that good?
Yes, Maharaj, thank you very much. I understand it.
Okay, very good.
I was thinking also the Prabhupada was explaining that we have to go through the line of the Hamsas, that we are able to different the milk from the water, you know, in this
Right.
point. I was thinking in such way that you can take from a dirty place, but you will take only this what is needed for your spiritual life, and you will be looking only for the devotional service.
Yes,
It's right.
exactly. Exactly. It means you take the gold, you leave the mud. Or that example you gave, you take the milk, you leave the water. Because that's the whole point, is that everything is Krishna. Therefore, you can find Krishna in anything. It's just a matter of taking that element that's Krishna, that's useful in devotional service, and leaving the rest of it. Right, so the car that it exists, and there is such a thing as the principle of a vehicle, that's Krishna. He's created that concept. That it has the potency to get you from one place to another. That's Krishna. Right, so we're going to take that the vehicle takes us from one point to another, but we're going from one point to another to serve Krishna. So that remains. So for us, it doesn't matter if it's a Fiat, or if it's a Ferrari, or if it's a Rolls-Royce. It doesn't matter as long as it takes us. Right? So what we're leaving is the point of the prestige of the car, you know, oh, hey, how, you know, what's this and that and so many other things that are there, you know, that we may be, as a car buff, maybe, you know, very inspired about, or things like that. Those aren't important. But that it's a vehicle and it works for Krishna, that's the potency that's there. But because even on the other things, okay, let us say, oh, it weighs, you know, 1,000 kilos and it has 1,000 horsepower, you know, so it's 1 to 1, it's the perfect ratio and all that. But the point is Krishna is power, because we're impressed by the power of this car. Krishna's the power. Or it's you know, it's done so nicely and it's one, you know, car design of the year and this and that, but aesthetics or beauty is Krishna, right? Or yeah, if I have this kind of car, then everybody will be, you know, respect me and this and that. You know, I'll get more things done. Krishna is prestige. Krishna is influence. He's fame. So it's not that piece of tin and rubber and plastic that's doing it. It's Krishna. It's his potency. But people think, no, it's the car that's doing it. No, it's not. It's Krishna. So whatever it is, then that's the point, is that, you know, whatever it is that you're using, it's Krishna. You know, knowledge, you know, the book or the internet or whatever it is that you're doing, that knowledge, that's Krishna. But you have to see it in context of Krishna and use it how Krishna would want you to use it. That's the whole point. So that's why the devotee has no problem being in any situation. It's all still Krishna. That's the point. So So one can always, whatever situation you're in, see it in that context. And that is gained by the association of devotees. You hear from the Acharyas how that works, how Krishna is everything. Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. How? You know, he's created everything, he maintains everything, destroys everything. Why is Vishnu stand out supreme amongst Brahma and Shiva? Because the material world is made of the 24 elements, right? Brahma creates with them, Shiva destroys with them. But who created the 24 elements? Brahma? No. Shiva? No. Only Vishnu. So that's why he can maintain. They can't maintain because they don't have it. Brahma and Shiva can't maintain because they don't have the potency of the 24 elements. So they can only, it's there. It's just like if I had put a pile of bricks, I put the bricks. The builder or the engineer can come along and do something with the bricks, right? Or the bricks are already there that, I put there. Someone else can come along and, the house is old and they can take it down. But neither of them can produce the bricks. Right? The person who's building the house, he supplies the goods. When you have a contractor, you have to supply the money that buys the goods and pays the bills that for his workers that he can work. Same with the other guy. He brings his fancy machines, but if you don't pay the money, he can't use them. So Krishna, he produces the 24 elements are his. That material energy is his shakti, or in Bhagavad Gita it's Daiva Shakti, because it's his. Right? It may be of inferior nature in the way of its temporariness, but the point is it's still his. So the spirit, so it's the kingdom of God, whether it's the spiritual world, the material world. So this idea is, oh no, it's a different time and things are different. People don't, religion doesn't work now. That these guys are fools. It's still Krishna's world. It's not theirs. They didn't make it. That's why you can see easily means the concept of, like, say, families or religion or money or friendship or, work or anything. These are all inherent qualities that are there. And people may say, oh, no, we can adjust them how we like, but because they didn't produce them. The concept of family life is not produced by man or any living entity. It's produced by Krishna. That's why you follow what Krishna says, it works. And if the modern thing, oh, you do whatever you like, it falls apart. It's like that. They can say, but they didn't produce it, so they can't. They can. It doesn't matter what they say about it. Oh, it's this is 2024, so we can do like this, but it doesn't work, right? So that's the problem. Is that we hear from the Acharyas how things work. That's the whole point. This verse is making that. We understand Krishna and his creation and the living entity and what's the relationship between them all, from the Acharyas, who are speaking on the basis of scripture, which has come from Krishna. And then everything works very nicely. Otherwise, then no, you can do, people have so many ideas and theories on what should work and this, it doesn't work. As people are going marching in the streets, we want this. But the problem is that whenever doing what they said has been done in the past, it never worked. It doesn't work. So that's the problem, is that we have these foolish ideas and think we're the controller and enjoyer when we're not, and it doesn't work. It's never worked. It never will work. So the things that the scriptures talk about that don't work and what does work, even though they were documented 5,000 years ago, and they go back to the beginning of the creation, that they didn't work then, they won't work now, they won't work in the future. That's the thing, is that's just the way it is. Water is wet. It was 5,000 years ago. It was 10 million years ago. It was a billion years ago. It was 151 trillion years ago. And another 151 trillion years, and it still will be wet. And next manifestation, it'll still be wet because the primary creation establishes the nature of everything in the material world. You know, everything, all the 8,400,000 species, all the laws governing them, the 14 planetary systems, whether it's oceans or rivers or lakes, whether it's the seaside, whether it's the valleys, whether it's the mountains, whether it's the forests, all those laws have already been established before Brahma created. And Brahma creates, that's why he said engineer, he works with a blueprint. The primary creation is the blueprint, and he creates accordingly. And it's been like that, and it'll always be like that. So if anybody thinks it's not like that, they're uninformed. That's why Prabhupada says the, what's it, the, what's he have? Poor fund of knowledge. Because their knowledge fund, it doesn't have a whole lot in it. And so it doesn't work. And so how do we know what does work? From the acharyas. That's the only way. Because even we read scripture doesn't mean we'll get the idea. I say a billion Hindus read Bhagavad Gita, but it's not necessarily understand what it means. So without the acharyas, without the devotees of the Lord giving commentary, they don't know. So that's why Krishna says it's the devotees that is what's important. And through the devotees, you can know Krishna. Is that good?
Yes, Maharaj, thank you very
Okay.
much. All right. Yeah.
Any anything else? Any other comments or questions?
Yes, Maharaj, can I ask?
Ah, yes, please.
In the shloka itself, there is a word, ruchi, ruchi. So I presume it can be translated as taste, but it's translated affinity. Can you elaborate on what's this
Affinity.
affinity?
Ah, yes. See, because affinity, it means is that something that you, it means you're attracted to, or you prefer. There's an attachment to it, like that. Because if you get a taste from something, you generally get attached to it. So the generic thing is just we're saying taste, fixed taste, clearing the anartas. It's just like the category. But what goes on inside, just like we say faith. But it's also, Shraddha also has the point of commitment and also the point of surrender. Right? So, ruchi will taste, that will be the general thing. It tastes good. It's just like you taste something, you taste the preparation you like. It tastes good. You have a taste for it. But more importantly, you have an attraction to it, a preference for it. Like if I bring out 10 things, and that you're going to go to the one that you have that affinity towards. Right? So then that affinity means you start to have the attraction for Krishna, and then that attraction turns into asakti, right? Where it's attachment. It's just like you have a desire, and by contemplating desire, it becomes attachment. Right? And Gita is explaining. If you contemplate the objects of the senses, then you become attached. So then in ruchi, you're contemplating, they've tasted that, that's so nice, and you're like that, so you prefer, like it's a preference. Then that will turn into attachment. And another definition, means then you can say is that you become just like you are fixed in, okay, devotional service is the most important aspect. Right? Over anything material. It does, devotional service doesn't require anything else. It's independent like that. It can function at all times, all places, all circumstances. Then that will mature into being fixed in that because of your taste for it. Right? So a shakti, that will be where you're fixed in what do you say? In being fixed. Because now you have that taste. You don't want anything else. So that naturally then turns into bhava, right? So now bhava will be the platform that you're functioning on. Just like nishta means that stableness is the platform. On that stableness, you're getting taste and then attachment. When you get attached, you can say now you're really fixed in that position. That will bring to the next. So then the next one, the uttam level, then bhava is the platform. And then through that, again, through the association of the devotees, right? You know, that's the main thing, is that without devotees' association, you don't enter into the Lord's pastimes. You may be in Braj, in your spiritual body, but you'll just be doing what you do in the village. It means everybody's got their occupation. And what's a more fabulous place in the spiritual world to do your occupation, right? There's no material miseries. Right, but by if you have that desire to deepen your relationship with Krishna, you'll get the association of Krishna's eternal associates. Right, because Braj means you have the new people, and you have the eternal associates. So where do you get the mood of love for Krishna from? Right, from those associates. Right, so then that brings to the point of the pastimes. And taking part like that. And then what's the maturity of that platform? Prema. Right? So in other words, neophyte position, then by bhajana kriya, you can say is now you're committed. So that's the, you know, the nice thing, or the faith and all that. Then that's what we, or if you say the faith is the thing, the association of devotees, then by bhajana kriya, then you'll get to the point of purifying the heart. Right? That will bring you to nishta. Nishta, then you get the taste, then you get that attachment. That will bring you then to bhava. And then bhava, getting the association of devotees, then you take part in the Lord's pastime. That will bring you to prema. So we see is that the stages, all these stages, then this is how each one goes. Every stage, neophyte, madhyama, and uttama, has three levels. Right, and there's going to be that dynamic level. You're going to situate it in faith like that, but because bhajana kriya, you're performing the action, therefore you'll get anartha nivritti, the purification. You're situated in faith that devotional service is the what do you call it, is the only process, therefore, and you're steady in it. Now you're steady, right? Because before that you weren't. It's called anishta bhakti, right? Now it's nishta bhakti. Then you get a taste. That taste is the dynamic that brings you to that being fixed in attachment to Krishna, right? And then that platform of you know, just being that, your faith being that position of just the spiritual platform, but in the association of devotees serving Krishna in his pastimes, that brings you to prema, right? So we can see is that in all of those, that bhajana kriya is the association, you know, is in instructions and association. Then the taste is coming from that association where you're hearing and chanting about Krishna like that. Even if you say, oh, but I sit in my room and I'm reading the book and getting taste, but who wrote the book? Whose purports? It's a devotee, right? It's Prabhupada's or the Acharyas, like that. Then you're getting the taste of that. And then in the spiritual world, the association of the eternal associates, that then brings to the point of like them having prema for Krishna, you serve with that same prema. You know, so it's always going to be, there's a platform, and in that platform, serving, you know, with the devotees, then you're going to get the results. So without the devotees, nothing happens. Because we have to remember, Krishna, as you surrender, Krishna reciprocates. You know, that guy in his suit with his briefcase walking down, you know, Fifth Avenue, you know, it, where's his surrender to Krishna? So there's nothing can do. That's why Advaitacharya, who's Mahavishnu, said, I can't do anything in this age because no one's surrendering. So I can't reciprocate. So he calls, only Lord Chaitanya can do that, because here's God, but in the mood of the devotee. And the devotee doesn't care less. He'll walk right up to that guy in the suit with his briefcase and start talking about Krishna. And he had no idea or inclination to hear about Krishna when he's walking down the street. And there it is. So that's the whole point, is that it's the devotees that make it. That's why the devotees are so dear. That's why the first offense is, don't mess with the devotees. Because if you do that, then it kind of throws off all the other elements, right? The holy name you hear from the devotees, Shastra, Guru is a devotee. Shastra, you know, you've heard is through the devotees, like that. And then the glories of the name, you know, they're not an exaggeration, like that, you know, don't commit sin on the name. So the rest of it's like that, but you've gotten all that from devotees. It's all in the association of devotees. So without the devotee, you know, you can't even work on the other nine, avoiding the other nine offenses, because you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know what's an offense. You wouldn't know what the name is. You wouldn't know what the process is. So without the devotees, that's the whole thing. The devotees are the most essential point in the whole thing. That's the catalyst, because why? Well, I can say, but it's Krishna is the center and all that. Yes, he is the center. But the point is what's most important for Krishna? Himself, he's Atmarama. He's sitting there. He's God already, you know. He expands himself to interact with the devotees. So that's where he gets the greatest happiness, is interacting with the devotees. So if for Krishna, the devotees are the most important, if you want to be friends with Krishna, you know, Sakyam, you know, the nine processes, having the same mood and wanting to please Krishna through what he wants done, then you also have to, devotees are so important. You know, Krishna is always going to be the most important, but Krishna is the point, because he's the most important, that holds all the devotees together. And then in that, because they're all on Krishna, Krishna can focus on all those. Right? If there's no Krishna, people don't get along. Krishna's there, unlimited living entities can get along. So that means the whole, and Krishna being unlimited, he can interact with unlimited devotees, unlimited moods and all that. So therefore, if you have Krishna as the center and value the Vaishnavas like Krishna does, then you can associate with all those Vaishnavas that all have all those maybe different moods and flavors and uniqueness, and, you know, perfectly harmonized with Krishna. So that's what's going on. The pastimes means Krishna with the devotees, and you're in the pastime because devotees are important. If Krishna is important to you, you only know through the devotees. Right? And your relationship with Krishna is through those devotees. You know? Like that. You know, it doesn't mean that you're not directly interacting with Krishna, but it just means your relationship is through the devotees. Did I answer the question, or did I get off into outer space?
Fabulous, fabulous.
Oh, okay.
My applause. So affinity, it's like inclination, yeah?
Yes, inclination, but it's favorable. Yeah, inclination, but you could say it's even has an inclination is just you kind of leaning that way. Affinity means there's actually an attachment.
Attachment.
So yeah, so like that's why the ruchi.
Asakti?
Well, because you said it was with ruchi.
If
you have a taste for something, you have an attachment for it, but it's not, it's,
you
in
develop,
other words,
the taste
is more than the attachment. But if you continue that, just like if you're in Nishta and continue steadily doing service, you will get a taste. So if in that position of taste, you continue that, you will get attachment. So that affinity will turn into attachment. Because if I say affinity means it's you're favoring that. If I say attachment, that's very solid.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you say you have love, you know, then that's even greater.
Yeah. Wonderful.
So it's just basically you're saying is that attraction to Krishna is just getting deeper and deeper. Faith is getting deeper through the association of devotees, and that attachment's getting deeper till it becomes prema. Sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? Any comment or question or that? Or
I'm just checking that, you know, we are not in any rush, but are we normally doing 1 or 1.5 hour? 2 weeks break, I also lost my memory?
I think it's 1.5. Didn't change it. We changed the Tuesday class to an hour just because of the timing.
Yeah.
Like that. Okay. But the Thursday and the Saturday, I think, are still at 1.5.
So no one is in rush. Matatse from England, would you like to make any question? You just pop up to this one, but I think the topic is clear. Or anybody else? Narakiti, where are you?
He's sitting just below you, at least on my thing. He's sitting.
Swarup Chaitanya is now back from Himalayas. He's actually in the more cold place that's called Lithuania. So it's already there. You came a few days ago. I like that. Anybody has question related to Srimad Bhagavatam?
Mataji has a hand up.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept.
Hare Krishna.
I would like to know if one tells a devotee the truth, let's say if they have been stealing money, and you know it's true, and then you just point that out, would that be an offense? I mean, just pointing out can be anything. It can be some bad qualities which they have, or
yes,
whatever.
The important thing is it's one. How you say? The important thing is how you point it out, because what it means, you're saying, okay, they're doing something wrong, and you're pointing it out. What's the goal of pointing it out?
To help them to overcome that anartha.
And why do you want to overcome an anartha?
So that they can advance more quick in Krishna consciousness.
Right. So
to
exactly.
Remove obstacles.
So,
yeah.
Yes. So like that, you have to explain the truth in that context. In other words, when it's in context of how it relates to helping or impeding their progress in devotional service, that's truth. Anything else is not truth. It may be a fact, like you're saying, you example, it may be a fact they're taking money, but that doesn't make it truth. Right? So truth is only if it's in relationship to Krishna and how it is in relation, you know, properly with the philosophy and all that. In so for us, truth means ananya bhakti or pure devotional service. That's truth. So how you explain it or bring it out so that it shows that aspect. And then what you do, if it's just by pointing it out and they feel embarrassed and it won't happen again, okay, you just go on the way it was going. If it's a matter of, oh, it's a big problem for them, then you might find them another service that they can be fully absorbed in, that they won't have that same problem. But the point is that only devotional service will move you forward. So anything else, oh, you've done this, toss them out on the road, and that you can't come to the temple, can't do this, can't do that. How will that advance devotional service? You say, no, but they were stealing, you know, like that. So the point is they're looking at it, stealing is the wrong thing. They're not looking at how that affects devotional service. So if there's no stealing, then we can have a devotional service. Otherwise, they steal, you can't have, they don't understand. Whoever says that does not understand devotional service. Devotional service is doing things for Krishna. That's devotional service. Stealing is not doing something for Krishna. So you stop that. Just like if it's time for lunch and you're not eating, then how do you solve the problem? By eating. You don't solve the problem by throwing them out on the road. No, if you're supposed to be eating lunch, and you're not eating lunch, and you throw them out on the road, they can't eat lunch. They're farther away from eating lunch. So that's the point. That's what we were discussing in the very beginning. The neophyte devotee, you know, has the tendency to think that unless the material is correct, you can't have spiritual. So if they're stealing, there can't be any spiritual life. They're chanting, they're everything, nothing has value. They're stealing, so that cancels everything. But no, it's that this stealing is getting in the way of their advancement. They're chanting, they're associating, it's getting in the way of that. It's an obstacle. Therefore, remove the obstacle, then the hearing and chanting will go nicely. you know, or it'd be like, let's say you have a your car, you're going down the road, your car, your tire gets a flat. And so because it's flat, you go out, jack up the car, take off the wheel, throw the wheel, and then put the jack back down, get in your car, and then drive off. How has that solved anything? So it's a misunderstanding of the devotional process. So, and even to the point of not having that depth of faith where you know that only bhakti can solve any problem. So if they have a problem stealing, the only thing they'll solve it is bhakti. Nothing else will solve it because they've been in the material world so long, it hasn't gone away, right? Whatever it is. And so therefore, then the only thing that can solve it is Krishna consciousness. So that's the important things you have to see is how to address it in such a way that they can move forward in Krishna consciousness. And like I said, if just bringing that up, they can come to that point, especially if there's a brahminical mood or like that, then they can see and then, you know, correct themselves and move forward. If it's seen that they can't do that, or, you know, it means on just in the discussion, or they're going and then again it keeps happening, then you just adjust them into another service where they don't have access to money and they can just do service. Right? You know, if their intent is Krishna consciousness. Like that. So like that, you have to find what will be favorable for them in Krishna consciousness.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Does that work?
Yes. If one comes with that attitude and the whole proper rhetoric around it or diplomacy around it, and they still feel offended by it, then what should one do?
Now you can ask them, what are they offended about?
Hmm.
I mean, the point is if you've taken money, and that's not correct, neither on the spiritual platform or this material platform, how can you be offended just because someone points it out?
Hmm.
You know, unless, of course, you know, they're the superior and this and that, and you're the junior, but then if you're the junior, you present it in a very humble way, is that, you know, in leadership position, you do that, it's not going to inspire anybody else. So therefore, it should be given up because you can lead in Krishna consciousness. So that leading should inspire others. And if you're taking money, then they won't be inspired. They'll think that either you're bad or it's all right for them to steal. So therefore, it should be given up. If they're still offended, then you just say, you know, if they're senior to you and you have no control over that, then just say, sorry if I've offended you. I just thought, you know, pointing this out might help, you know, yourself and everybody else. And if not, then excuse me for bringing it up. If you're in the senior position and all that, then, you know, then maybe it's better you do some other service. And then you'll see how sincere they are. You know, if they say, oh, I'm not doing any service because they kicked me out and this, that. So then there's more material motive there. Then, you know, then you have to wait. Yes.
Thank you.
Narakriti ji, something on this or?
It's connected, but not completely connected.
Okay, so then just 1 second. Mataji, okay. Was that okay then?
Yeah, I just wanted to know, is it still an offense? And is that, would that be like an obstacle in my own spiritual life?
If you've done your best to sincerely try to do it in a way that they won't be offended and they get offended anybody, anyway, what can you do? So, I mean, nowadays, you know, being offended is like the trendy thing to do. If you're not offended, if you're not triggered, then, you know, you're not up to date.
Yeah, that's
you know, true. Like that. You know, you have to be offended to, you know, take part in the modern progress of society. You know, there's I think it was the... I mentioned that there's a, I think it's Latin term. It's called scandalizai banturocracy. You know, just, it's a governmental form. You know, just like you have democracy and autocracy and all these things. So it's actually, and its translation is governance of the offended. Right. In other words, because they're offended. No, okay, now we can do something. You know, we can like, but this takes it like this. Well, if not, unless they're offended, they can't do anything. But as soon as you're offended, oh, then we can get rid of these people. We can do this. We can do that. You know. So that's the things they look to be offended because now they can do something. They have a goal in life. They have purpose. They have this and that. So if you have people like that, then, you know, just better to figure out if you need, if it's going to make, if they're big politicians, that do it in such a nice way that you get rid of it, or other authorities, and just have someone else take over and wait till they go on vacation. Someone else has to run the office or run the cash or whatever it is that's dealing with the money while they're gone. And then when they come back, you just inform them, well, this guy's doing, we'd like you to do this. You know, this is more important, and, you know, butter them up on how nice they are going to be in this thing, or, you know, whatever. You just have to see what's worth doing. Or if it's just a matter, everybody knows, and that, then you just go ahead anyway, because no one will support them. Because if they're offended, then they feel they have the right to get everybody else on their side against you. So the weakness in karma, right? That means, remember, it says fear. In the Bhagavatam, it talks about fear. And so by taking up devotional service, you become fearless, right? So the fear in karma is envy, right? No matter what you do in karma, somebody is envious. Right, like that. And in liberation, right, in jnana, the fear is loneliness, because you've given up everything, now you're alone. And if you get, you're involved in everything, there's just envy. So the devotee, because he's not doing anything on the platform of karma and jnana, he neither feels alone, because he's always serving Krishna, so he's always a Krishna and devotees, whether it's directly or through the instructions. You know, Krishna isn't, yeah. Or in karma, he's just doing what he does for Krishna. So he's not envious or affected by it. Others around him may be, just like Yudhishthir is just doing things in Krishna consciousness, and Duryodhana is envious, but Yudhishthir is unaffected. So you just have to see what to do.
Thank you, Maharaj. Yes, okay. Sometimes, like, you know, pious people and impious people. So, no, how can I explain? Like, when I was new in Krishna consciousness, then when I was saying I'm vegetarian, then the meat eaters made me feel like bad, like a sinner, because I'm so good. You know, it just becomes like upside down sometimes. I think in this situation also. Are you there?
Whatever the position you say, karma means envy.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Everybody is envious of everybody else. You might get together, okay, you know, in the family, they're envious of each other, or the family is united, but they're envious of another family, or if those are united, now you have community. That community is envious of another community.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, like that. It just goes on. It's just, you know, yeah. That's all it is. It's based on envy, because envy is you have and I want. I want everything and you have something that I want, and so therefore better I have than you have.
Thank you, Maharaj. Very okay. Nice answer. Thank you.
Okay. 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 Narakriti Ji.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I just read in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that devotees should be kind, equally kindly disposed and kind towards the enemy and friends.
Right.
So I was just thinking, you know, devotee doesn't have enemies, but I would consider those enemies who attack you, either physically or verbally. So I don't know if any of devotees had that experience, but some people, just the way they talk, they start like talking nicely, and then they say something to hurt you. When somebody's distressed, you can immediately see he's distressed, you can expect the attack. But there are people who are so expert in doing it in a way that you're relaxed, you know, you're friendly, and then they hit you. And that is what I consider an enemy. So even among devotees, I suppose it's because I've done something to them in the previous life, or I don't know. But right. How to deal in such situations? like Bhakti Charumaraj said, respectful distance. But how do you do respectful distance? You know, ignoring these persons?
Well,
because they can do it in any moment. Like, say, Hare Krishna, Prabhu, how are you? And then hit you in, you know, you never know when it comes from. I don't know if anybody has experience with this.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. No, it's just it means those who are, you know, especially those who are more political are very good at that. In respectful distance, what is the key term in that combination, in that phrase?
Well, distance and respectful, both. I don't know.
No, but which is the main word? Which one's the main
respectful
word and which one's...
Or distance? I don't know.
I would say it's distance.
Okay.
So, in other words, keep your distance, but be respectful. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because being respectful, how do you keep a distance? No, you're keeping your distance, but you're being respectful about it if you happen to bump into them and this and that. So in other words, knowing that that's there, then you be very careful what you talk about. Don't throw out any, don't relax. So in other words, those people who approach, you don't relax. You're always very careful what you say and like that. Don't volunteer any information. Keep things, you know, very simple and short, and they'll lose interest. Because their only interest is finding something wrong so they can attack you. And if there's nothing that they can catch, then, you know, like that, you know, or you're saying nice things about them or appreciating something or whatever it is that they can't attack you. So then, you know, someone like Bhakti Charumaraj, you know, from a gentlemanly background, cultured background, then something like that will be easier for him to do, you know. And if you're coming from a more of how you say? I'm not sure, but I think it was earlier in this chapter, or when there's that famous verse where it lists off 12 different tribes, you know, and then says that, you know, even they can be involved in Krishna consciousness, you know, it's so powerful. So if one's coming from one of those backgrounds, or that's probably, I would say, the 12 are, well, not necessarily, yeah. Then you have, at the end, it says, of the 12 or lower. So, you know, then it's through devotional service. So it's just a matter of knowing that only by devotional service, by chanting, by, you know, reading, by associating, by worshiping, you know, hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping, and surrender to the Lord, that only is going to make things work. And then by absorbing yourself in that, then you'll get better at how to deal with these. Because it's not material tricks that are good. It's the devotional level of understanding. Because if you're functioning at the same level of consciousness they are, you can't correct the situation. Well, if you're functioning at a level of consciousness higher than them, then you can see beyond what they're doing. Does that work?
Yes, thank you, Mara. But why is somebody doing like this?
It's just impurity in the heart. That's the thing, is don't worry why they're doing it unless you know that you do that. And so then you want to know why they're doing it. And you can study them because it's easy to see them and then apply that in your life. Otherwise, don't worry about it. That's their anartha. Someone else's anartha is eating too much, you know, halava. You know, like that. But then their anartha is fault finding, you know, kutinati, which is much worse. In other words, kutinati is the worst of the four kinds of anarthas. So asatrishna, that's going to be the taste for material elements, you know, our ideas. That's going to be, some of them are new and they'll go away more easily. Some of them are more deep. They'll take longer. But it's that Hridaya Darbalya, where the heart is weak and inclined towards material enjoyment, just that principle of material enjoyment, then you're going to have something there. So it's just chanting will remove these things. So those aren't most people take that end as the worst. Most of the time, offenses and on deity worship and that, they won't consider it because deity worship is not important to them. Fault finding is a standard thing in your modern society, all material society, especially modern society. Because if you can find fault in someone else, it puts you supposedly in a senior position or a superior. So by finding fault in you, they've proven that they're the better person. So everybody wants to be the better person. So fault finding is just standard. So therefore, fault finding is just normal culture. They don't even see it as wrong. And offense to the deity, most of them, they won't consider as wrong either, unless it's something that's important to them, then only. But the Hriday Darbalya and the Satrishna, if it's different from theirs, then they'll find that'll be the most serious fault they'll find. And but if it's similar to them, they won't notice it at all. You're just one of them. So it's just ignorance. That's all. Karma comes from ignorance. Jnana is based on naishkarmya, means doing your duty without attachment. So not very many people are on that platform. So karma means that it's based on ignorance, and you want results. So they want the happiness of finding something wrong in you and pointing it out. So one is you avoid as much as you can, and when you do meet them, just be on guard. You know, be relaxed, means relaxed in your mood, but be attentive that you're not actually relaxed. You won't just relax and talk about anything openly. Don't talk openly. Just be careful and like that. Don't make it obvious, but just be careful.
Okay, thank you, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yes, Guruji.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. I just wanted to ask you if my understanding regarding ruchi is correct. As I understand, ruchi is the taste for having that taste of devotion the residents of Vraja have. Is it correct?
Ruchi means a taste in Krishna consciousness. So it'll be the same whether someone's going to Vaikuntha, going to Dwarka, going to Vrindavan, like that. For us, it's in that line. So that's the point, is it's in relationship to hearing, chanting, remembering, you know, serving the Lord. There's a taste of surrender. That's where the taste is. So since we're following that line, we're doing things that are approved for someone in that line. So things that we do, other sampradayas may not put so much emphasis on it. The common points, the nine processes of devotional service, those are common amongst all the Vaishnavas. But it's just how they express them and, you know, to what technical detail or how they do, what's the culture of it, that may be unique. But so therefore, for us, it may mean that, but the taste of the residents of Vrindavan means for us, it means doing those things, those activities, having a taste in those activities that are recommended by our acharyas, you know, by the scriptures, by Bhagavatam and our acharyas. Because us having that understanding of that taste may not be, you know, may take some time to develop. I mean, some taste is there, but having that mood, because we have to remember is that from taste is then a sakti. And then, then it develops. So it's a matter of bhava has extended down. In other words, all these things of shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nivriti, nishta, and ruchi. And asakti. These seven are extensions of bhava. Right, all the way down, you know, it's just a small part, and you know, and this gets more. Ruchi and asakti are, you could say, like the natural form of bhava, but small. The others just have the power of bhava, right? And so, as it goes up, then that taste, because it's not that there's no taste in the beginning, it's just not prominent. You came to the devotees, you heard the class, you heard a kirtan, or to prasad, there's a taste there, right? So even the neophyte has taste, but it's not the prominent, you know? It's just like, let's say, the baby, stood up and walked two steps and then fell over. Now, we're going to be talking about how they walked and everything like that, but it's not like they're going to win any Olympic gold. You know, so as far as the whole day goes, their walking is very minimal. Right? So it's not that it's not there, but the rest of the day will be, you know, how they were, you know, they were laughing, or how they were sleeping, or how they were crying, or, you know, so it's going to be one of the things. So there's going to be, so just that baby stuff is prominent. The walking was there, you know, but as time, then the walking gets more and more until, you know, then they get into school, they start doing sports, they get into the secondary education, and they start doing, you know, more advanced things like that. And, you know, and then, you know, then they go on to win the Olympic gold like that. So taste is there right from the beginning, right? But it's small, you know, like that. Certain things we fixed in, like you see, brahmacharis are generally very fixed in prasad, especially, you know, halava and puris. You know, they're you know, they're nishta in these things. Probably even you could say a sakti, you know, they're attached and like that. But the point is, it's small. It's only in that one thing. So when we say ruchi, it's broad. That you're, it's the regular, it's the major element in your consciousness is the taste. Right? It's still not complete, not on the platform of prema, but it's got your, just like when you first join, shraddha is the prominence in your consciousness, even though the amount of faith isn't so much. Does that make sense? You know, that might be, yeah. So, and then sadhu sangha, you want to be with the devotees. Then bhajana kriya, you want to follow all this. Anartha nivritti, you're willing to give up all these attachments and that. And then this, so it's whichever is prominent at the time. That's the deuce. That might, yeah, does that make sense? You know, that might even work. Yeah. Better with the baby, okay, like we did before. We talked about the walking. Baby's doing so many different things, and you know, the family's talking about something, but if he walks that first day, that's all they talk about. So it's a prominence from that way, as far as combination, as far your consciousness, it's the prominence, even though it may not be as much as what it will be. So when we say ruchi, It's your, that you're getting a taste where it's regular and prominent in your mind, though the taste is not as much as will be as prema. But it's still, you know, an actual manifestation of, you know, of what is there on the platform of Baba, just Baba's way more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you, Maharaj. I will listen to your answer again and think it over. And I believe you answered my question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Maharaj, I'm not sure if we are over the time, but we started later.
Yes.
Can I still? Oh, is it? Yeah. I mean,
Guruji, that was a question? No, he's finished. Okay. So what's your question?
Well, I was dropped out, so I'm not sure if you already replied, then I will just listen it. But that being respectful, I was on the way to say my own attitude, always disrespectful for the offenders. But being respectful, are we respectful that they are the most qualified to Lord Chaitanya's movement, meaning they are the lowest of the low? Or are we respectful that Krishna is still in the hold of the spiritual advancement, or what we are? Because it's difficult to respect, for example, someone who is knifing mentally back one's wife or destroying the movement.
Right. It means that in your, how you deal with them, you deal respectfully. You know what I'm saying? The words you use, the moods you use and all that is respectful for the situation that's there and your relationship, what's your position. You know, so many things to consider and respect. Because respect means, you know, the platform of, I mean, supposed for us, the main is devotion. Then you have respect on knowledge, family relationship, influence, wealth, how you say, particular age, you know, of skill, you know, all these different things that combine together then are elements through which respect can be done. So In other words, whatever situation is there, you try to deal as nicely as possible. It doesn't mean that nice doesn't mean that you're not trying to make the point that you want to make. You know, in his, it's more about how to avoid the interaction. But here's that whatever you're doing it in such a way that how you spoke and everything is as best as possible. Right? Because, you know, ultimately they're a living entity, they're part and parcel of Krishna. So that has to be remembered. So the problem is they're doing something that's not good for theirs or others' devotional service. That's the problem. So that's the real problem. It's not actually the problem of what it is they've done, because what they've done is done by their body towards another body or their mind towards another mind. Like on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, then Krishna's making the point is that the living entity neither kills or is killed, because the living entity is eternal. So all that happens is the body is killed, or one body kills another body, but it's not the soul. So one living entity insults another living entity. It's not actually the living entity. It's the grossest subtle bodies, but the soul wants to take part. That's why they get the credit or get the blame. Does that make any sense? So in other words, the diplomatic dealings are still applied. You know, just like, let's say, for example, you have, say officers in the military, and they might have vast difference of opinion, but they still have to respect, you know, the rank. You may not like them, you may hate them, but you still deal in such a way that the rank is respected. But it doesn't mean that you don't let them know that you feel that what they did was improper and like that. But so like that, you have to see. So if they don't have any rank or that, then it's just a matter of speaking, you know, pleasantly so that they understand what they've done wrong. But if they do have a position or like that, then you have to respect the position, but at the same time as, you know, find nice, you know, I mean, how you say, diplomatic ways to say what you're saying.
But well, like still, Maharaj, shortly, that what is the purpose or the aim for this diplomatic dealing? Is that it gets easier to deliver our message, or because normally they just understand, you know, stick. They don't normally understand. The more diplomatic, more educated, or more something, they consider it kind of a weakness, so you don't dare to say like this.
But if you're in a position to use the stick, like I was saying before to Narakritiji or Mataji, was if you're in a senior position, then you might deal in one way. If you're in an equal, then you deal in another. If you're in a junior way, in another. So unless you have the ability to use the stick, then using the stick won't do anything. So then it's like what Bhakti Charmar said, respectful distance. You just, you know, in other words, if you don't move in their world, don't bother with their world.
Yeah.
Because then you're at a distance, you know, and only if they step over onto your side, then you might say something, you know. So it's, yeah, one just has to see is that, you know, if it's something officially done or something that needs to be officially taken care of, do it, but do it in such a way that it doesn't just continue the fight, you know. In other words, they've said something, you say something back in such a way that you've said what you needed to say, but it stops them from saying anything more.
Those military officers, they use that mostly, like they start with gentle, then they get it a little, you know, more critical, up to the point that still the relation is senior, junior, and like that.
Yes. Yeah, so like that, and then you know, pull back again to the formal. I would just say is that, in other words, the military uses it because it works. And so, that would be what we mean. Because you're having to maintain, you know, the etiquettes, the structure, and everything like that. You want that to maintain, because that's that we're using that in Krishna's service. So unless we're out on our own, out in the Himalayas somewhere, then we have to interact. So therefore, we're following the etiquettes or the diplomacy or whatever it is. We're not following because we're trying to get something done for ourselves. We're using it because that's just how things function, and we want to get something done for Krishna.
They have one thing which they have. It's between men. It's not so personal. They have the principle that this is anyhow. They will be not dealing with the same leaders in the groups they are situated later on. So it's the principle of authority which has to be respected, and that works quite well. So it's not so personal. There are, of course, personal, how would I say, dischemistry or set, how would I say, disbalanced reactions, but it's more considered to be that way, that this is anyhow the principle. Without anything, nothing doesn't really work. So even you wouldn't like this person now, you still like the principle that authority is there.
Yes. Yeah, because the principles, just different people will come into the things now. You know, the person who's bothering you today may not be the person that's bothering you tomorrow. But bothering is the same point, and the etiquettes and everything else. The principles of everything remain in place. So then we try to work with those very nicely.
And then it comes to the point, like, we have to follow. If they have continuously the problem with authority, then it's not the problem of the authority. Then it's that they have an authority problem.
Yes. So it's just a matter of, once you see it comes to that point that you're not the problem, they're the problem. Then it's just a matter of you deciding, do you need to continue the interaction or not? If they're moving in a different circle and they don't really bump into your circle, then you just stay away. If you just keep that respectful distance.
I mean, to the certain degree, we have the power to kick them out. So normally, if it continues, then there is a solution. It's called door. Just, open it.
Really, yeah, street. it just means whatever's going to whatever needs to be used is used. Point is that we have to see what's going to be, the principle always has to be is how, either we're moving forward, or if possible, if they can move forward in Krishna consciousness. But if, you can't do anything about that, at least they don't bother yours or others' Krishna consciousness.
Mm. Yeah.
You know.
Looks like ISKCON just don't have this kind of, real protection Kshatriya element anymore.
No,
it was
no.
When Mars and Harikesa, now it's so twisted. It's just like kind of a mix with this political move side. But there are men who would say, who would protect the movement. I'm sorry to say, but I don't find
it. Yeah, well, I mean, ultimately it comes down to Krishna, his movement. So we do our best and we take shelter of Krishna. And then at least for us and our position in the movement, that will be taken care of. We do service, but how these others do, because it's individual between all of them and Krishna. So they're supposed to cooperate together and make something nice and attractive, but if they're not. So the point is it's gone from, it's supposed to be brahminical. Then there was a strong kind of thing of the Kshatriya aspect, more administration and how the bigger organization. But then we see 90s and it dropped down to the corporate. And now it's down to the bureaucratic, which is Shudras. Shudra, an ideological bureaucracy. So in that, no one's safe. Of course, those individuals in the bureaucracy try to make themselves protected and safe. But ultimately, it never works, especially, even in the material world, it doesn't work, let alone within the spiritual movement. It's just a matter of time. So the Brahminical culture is what makes it work. And then based on that, the Kshatriyas are organizing and protecting that. Vaishyas are creating the economic, facilities for that Brahminical culture. Shudras are doing the, general work that's necessary for that culture. So it has to be these higher natures. So it's the Brahminical and the Kshatriya nature is the prominent element. But for us, it's devotional nature is actually the main principle. And then you just engage whatever you have. And if you're doing that, then it works nicely because it's centered around Krishna. So then, like we said, so many rings on a pond that they perfectly align. There's no problem. But now it's ideology is taking a more prominence than Krishna conscious, you know, philosophy and tradition. So ideology never works. That's the synonym of ideology is failure. You know, Krishna concept, now that's success. You know, people may argue this, right, left, and center, but it doesn't matter. There's no thing in history where ideology has ever worked. Never.
But I kind of thought we'd just keep it inside our own movement. But yesterday I was meeting those professors, you know, this one very prominent, and his right hand, the ones who arranged you to talk there. And they were so upset. They said, you know, we didn't thought that kind of managers of ISKCON, they didn't point at me, are just poor politicians without any spiritual. I mean, they were heavy. I don't say all the words. They were heavy. And like that. So it doesn't stay only in our own movement. The good reputation, for example, yeah, you did there, it's still there. But there is a great doubt. I had to use 3 hours to talk with them to basically clarify it's not yet the whole ISKCON, it's these few rascals. Like that.
The point is we're a voluntary movement. And so then the problem is because it's volunteers, somebody might go off the rails and you're trying to do your best you can. But because it's voluntary, that people are in the movement because of their qualifications, interest in Krishna consciousness, you know. And then as that wanes, if that determination doesn't match the position they're in, then it's a problem, you know, because if it's a corporation or a governance or something else, then you just fire them, you know. But for us, it's that you're trying to, you know, work with them and their life and all that. So if you don't have the strong leadership, no one deals with them. So it's a matter of that. So therefore, that's the beauty of bhakti, is that the individual themselves can still advance despite everything else around them. So because bhakti is independent, so that means the individual can move forward even though everybody else is not. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's final instruction had this. This is one of the points he made. Don't be disappointed that so many others aren't, you know, either properly following or giving up Krishna consciousness, because you alone can be Krishna conscious and go back to Godhead despite everybody else. So one has to maintain that kind of faith, because he had, you know, put together a very, you know, strong institution like that. And you can see where all the problems are coming up. So he's pointing out is, because as soon as you deal with institutions, you're going to have these problems like that. And if you don't have an institution, then you can't necessarily organize things as nicely. So it's just one of the weaknesses of the material world. At any time you organize something, then somebody wants the power, somebody wants the facility, somebody wants the fame or recognition like that. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, these things come up. So that should be understood. It's the movement is pure. Individuals who take part in it, they may have problem. You know, it's just like, let's say you have gold. Gold is gold. Now, you may have a rascal putting on the gold and walking around like he's the big man. It's not the gold's problem. It's the individual. So therefore, the movement given by Prabhupada and the Acharyas is pure. It's perfect. But individuals within it taking positions and taking, you know, whatever it is, they may misapply it. And so then that's where the problem is with the individual. And that's why either those individuals go away, everything will go on because it's still Krishna's mission. Or if they understand what's wrong and correct themselves, then they can move forward, you know, and take part. So it's not dependent on getting rid of anybody. It's a matter of if they need to be sidelined because otherwise they can't in any way, shape or form understand what's wrong or this, then that's there. But if they can, then with that proper understanding, like we said, you know, before the example, you're supposed to be eating lunch, let's say, like the kids are supposed to be eating lunch, but they're playing. So what's the solution? Stop playing and eat lunch. Right? And only if it's really bad and they just can't get it together, then you may send them to their room.
I realized with that lesson that these have been living in this sectarian bubble that long that they think they can fake anybody, but they can't fake these highest intelligent karmis. I don't say that they are spiritualists. The other was priests. See, that lady, she's priest. But yeah. They just defined, they said, this just, politicians, because they cited them who arranged them, the forum, so that these politicians who are just materialists but couldn't make it in the material world, they find their paradise in this sect, you know, like, I mean, they use these words, sorry.
That's the way, it's just like, how you say, you know, that I don't know if you have it much in Europe, but in America, it's a big thing. These trans women.
Mm.
It's men who identify as women, and then they take part in women's sports and then win. So you have a guy that's number 200 and number 400 of the men's league. He can't win anything. He's so far behind. But if he identifies as a woman, he can take part in the women's league. And then now he's a big guy. He's winning medals and he's a big guy. But so the point is, anybody with some intelligence and all that, they can see it. So even these guys are really intelligent, they can see it. But even a common person who's like practical in life and, you know, has some, you know, generally traditional values, and like, they can see it also. The point is anybody can see it. So that's why they have to stay in smaller and smaller circles, because outside that circle, people see it. So it's just a matter of time, and then it all kind of evaporates, because you don't have any leadership on the top to come in and correct it. Therefore, it just goes until they don't get a taste anymore, and then they do something else.
Mm. Yeah.
So you continue doing your work and dealing, and so then they have more of an understanding what's actual reality. And then, then these other guys, they just avoid.
I don't know. I have kind of a role that I'm always clarifying the soup. It's always this. I don't know what rasa it is, but it has happened in this yatra five different times, you know, the fall downs of GBCs and the blue. I'm always the one who clarifies the soup. Someone other Krishna has. But it's.
Yeah, so then you have something to do for Krishna.
I mean, I feel blissful actually to do that. I didn't feel bad actually. I felt bad what they have done. The lady The lady almost started to cry. In one point, she did. She said, "What they did to her, it's like, you know." But they cited her anyhow. That's another. Sorry to take this topic. This belongs more to Raghunath is soon saying this is the managerial thing, but I'm just trying to relate to our topic. But I think it's thank you, Maharaj. You clarified.
Okay, very good. Okay, so then we'll end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right, Shula.